Are you raising a family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Or do you ask, where's the roadmap to building a happy, healthy life? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice. Welcome, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, and thanks for tuning in to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. As a pediatrician and mom, there's so many conversations that happen outside of clinical practice that I wish I could share with all of you out there raising your families and taking care of yourselves. So each episode, I invite colleagues, experts, and thought leaders to talk about what you may also be wondering, like how do I raise a healthy child? Today, I have board-certified dietitian with a degree in nutritional biology, Divya Dendaluri, who I've had the pleasure of working with over the years from Dayton Children's Pediatric Clinic. Now, remember, I'm not your pediatrician, so talk to your doctor for special issues you're having. But I hope you learn a lot from today's conversation. Divya, thank you so much for talking with me today. You're not just an expert dietitian, you are a mom of two teenage daughters. And I know in my practice, I have a lot of families that are challenged by picky eaters. Do you have picky eaters in your household?
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Adams. I am so excited to be here on this podcast with you today. I do have a picky eater. One of my daughters is a picky eater. And I think we have our good days and not so good days, but it's so important to allow for them to try different foods, introduce certain foods, maybe multiple times, maybe with different flavors. It's also a great idea to maybe involve them in the process, allowing them to maybe work with that food, maybe like touch the food, cook with the food, or even come up with a recipe that they want to try using a food. Recently, we were working with cucumbers, and my picky eater typically has a few vegetables that she'll eat, and it's typically potatoes, corn, and maybe sometimes cauliflower. So we were working with some cucumbers, and I was trying to make a salad, and I asked her to maybe look up a recipe to see how she'd like to eat the cucumbers. And she said she just didn't want like other vegetables in the salad. Maybe she wanted to try slices of cucumbers. So we sliced up some cucumbers and she had some. She didn't really like it. So we tried adding a little bit of salt and pepper. She felt that it was a little better. And then she added some cream cheese. She came up with that idea.
What a great idea.
And she made little cucumber sandwiches with the cream cheese in the middle and two cucumber slices. And she enjoyed that.
What a great idea. And I love how you're helping them take some ownership of this and coming up with their own ideas, because I would imagine by doing that, you're going to get better cooperation from her and she might be more willing to try versus you just saying, this is what you have to eat.
Absolutely. I think especially as children get older, that autonomy helps with not just wanting to try different foods. I also think that it helps with boosting their confidence in trying different foods, but also in themselves to make choices for eating different foods.
And when you talk about nutrition with your families, I remember the food pyramid and the way it looked like when I was in school, you were in school. What's changed with the food pyramid?
That is such a great question. So the food pyramid was something I also studied and grew up looking at and grew up being comfortable with. And I think in the past few years, it's switched to the MyPlate. The MyPlate is such a great visual. It has all the different food groups in it. And visually, it just looks very simple. It doesn't have a lot of different, it doesn't have those steps of the pyramid as we used to see before. It's also, a great way to see how to portion our food. If we're looking at the plate, it's any person, whatever age we are, it's great to see that, okay, we want to have maybe half our plate filled with fruits and vegetables, and then a quarter filled with protein, a quarter with carbohydrates or starches, and then a small portion of dairy or a small portion of a calcium-rich food. It could be dairy or non-dairy sources of calcium like soy milk. So it's such a great representation of what food groups that we could include in our plates.
I remember you and I had a conversation working together about, let's go to portions for a moment, and how do you tell families what portion? Because I'm sure when you talk to a family that has an 18-month-old, that's a different portion than a 16-year-old.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that that I would always tell families and all the children that I see is to the simplest way to portion out foods is to use our hands as a portioning tool, because as we get older, especially the children, our hands grow with us, and we can use that as a great way to make sure that we're getting enough of each food. So a 2-year-old's portion size definitely looks different from a 12-year-old's portion size.
Yes, I love that, because it's an easy way to tell a family, look at the palm of their hand and, this is what we can expect. Because I think sometimes families think, oh, they're not eating enough or they're eating too much. And that's another wonderful visual. We know that childhood obesity is, and other challenges are really facing our society. So when you're counseling families, what do you tell them to really look for in a diet in order to make their child healthy?
Absolutely. So with the counseling aspect of it, like you said, I love that you used the word families versus just the child or just the patient, right? So it's about making small changes, and even one single change can give a lot of benefits. I think the approach that we all take, including you, is to firstly talk about how we can be healthy at every size, at any size, and to make sure that we have a healthy lifestyle. So where we're having we're doing some activity, we're also including foods from a variety of food groups, making sure that that's nourishing our body and also our well-being. Typically, when I talk to families, it's we look at what they're doing and where they are. Are they ready to make changes? And what kind of changes are they looking to make? Maybe, a particular family may be more interested in looking at ways to get more active. Maybe another family may be looking at ways to introduce more vegetables to their picky eaters. So meeting them where they are, and then also trying to see if we could make one or two small changes, and then follow up with them maybe say in a few weeks, just to see how they're doing and if they needed more support. And if they're able to make that change, then maybe see if they can make some other changes as well. So if they've tried one new vegetable every week, could we try doing maybe 2 or 3 vegetables every week? Could we maybe add fruits, or could we maybe start adding those vegetables to snacks? And then even seeing if they wanted to work on their activity as well. So just trying to see if we could do one or two changes at a time and then see how they're doing, evaluate where they are and take it from there.
That's such good advice, because I know that if I tell a family in my clinic, do this, do this, do this, and it's overwhelming. And then when they can't do it all at once, then they feel like they failed. But if we could say, let's just do this, you know, one vegetable, two, three vegetables a week, and they come back and the child is so proud to come back to clinic and say, you know, I'm doing it. And then you can go on to the next step. So I really want to encourage families that are listening that is so key. You don't have to make changes, all the changes at once, because it can be overwhelming, especially, and this gets into my next question, you're a mom, you know, you're balancing life, work, busy schedules, not to mention the high cost of groceries right now. What are some of the challenges you're hearing from parents, and what do you recommend to overcome them?
Absolutely. I think with the growing grocery prices, it's always important to make sure that we work within our budget. For that, we always, I think, want to look at seasonal produce, buying seasonal fruits and vegetables, but even trying maybe frozen or canned vegetables and fruits, making sure that the vegetables that are canned, maybe they're canned in water of very low sodium brine. Or if it's fruits, then if they're canned, we want to choose fruits that are canned in their own fruit juice versus maybe syrup. But also it's great to look at Kroger, for example, has coupons that they keep sending. Their app has some coupons that families could clip. But a variety of stores offer different discounts and sales. So sometimes even looking into that. But I know when life gets busy, that's super hard to look at. I would say that when things are busy and we don't have a lot of prep time, I love using frozen vegetables and fruits. I think they're super handy. They stay great in the freezer for a long time. And I tend to use them a lot. I also use a lot of canned beans and tomato syrup. Why did I say tomato syrup? Sorry. Tomato paste. Sometimes I'll also use like butternut squash puree that I would add to my mac and cheese. But yeah, there's a lot of a variety of fruits and vegetables that we can eat that are canned and frozen as well.
And I love that you said look for the low sodium, or if it's fruits, the ones that are in their natural sugar. But I will tell families too, if that's not possible, try rinsing it before you actually eat it. So you reduce the amount of sugar, you reduce the amount of salt in it. If you're enjoying this conversation, please like, subscribe to the channel, and message me so others can find this wonderful conversation and helpful information as they raise their best children and live their best lives. Now more than ever, families are really trying to eat across different cuisines and cultures. You are of Indian descent. What do you like to prepare for your children and everyone in your household?
You are so right about trying different foods from different cultures, but different flavors as well. In our household, I grew up with eating a lot of just food from the city that I grew up in, very local Indian. It was very much lentils and rice and vegetables. That was mostly lunch and dinner. And then breakfast was also something more lentil and rice based. And then my children growing up here, they do enjoy different foods. So they enjoy pasta, they enjoy noodles, they enjoy soups. So we have incorporated different foods in our meals. So if in a week, we typically maybe cook Indian food twice or thrice a week, and then kind of rotate between doing tacos, one night, and then maybe tomato soup and grilled cheese another night, and then pasta and with a lot of vegetables. I also tend to add some Indian flavors like turmeric and cumin into my pasta, and my kids laugh about it.
Yes, it's so good for you. I like to use turmeric on my eggs. And it's funny, I watch my daughter-in-law feed my grandbaby, and she's putting paprika on the avocado, or she's putting cinnamon in her yogurt. And I love that, because that's the other thing. When it comes to picky eaters, we can make the food and help it taste better, so that the kids, with just a little tweak in some spices here and there, like cinnamon tends to, it may seem really bitter, right? When you, if you just ate it by itself, but when you add it to food, and you taught me this, when you add it to food, then it becomes, it's sweet. It adds some sweetness to it. So I love that you're trying different things, but then in incorporating, I would imagine, some of the things you know your girls and your husband like to eat too.
Absolutely.
What about those families who we really want to make sure that we're mindful that they're getting all the nutrients in their diet when they want to eat a vegan or vegetarian, carnivores, pescatarian? I have families where some kids won't eat meat. What do you advise to those families?
Absolutely. So with families who have different I think diet lifestyles based off of diets. I would say overall, we want to focus on trying to eat a variety of foods from different food groups. But there are, like you said, there are certain nutrients we want to make sure that, say if we are vegan, or if we are maybe not taking as much of certain food groups, we want to make sure that we get those nutrients. For example, I would say vitamin B12, which is mostly found in animal sources, is an important nutrient. We want to make sure families who are eating who are eating vegan diets, we want to make sure that they have enough of that. Certain foods like maybe nutritional yeast flakes can help with adding more B12. But I would say sometimes even having a supplement can be helpful. And obviously that we want them to maybe talk to a physician and the dietitian to get more guidance on that. The other nutrients that I would think of if we're more vegan would be iron. So we're preventing any iron deficiency anemia, as well as vitamin D, which we typically now we find it in a lot of foods. So milk, dairy is a great source, but also a lot of foods are fortified. So orange juice, cereal, breads are also fortified with vitamin D as well. So I would say those are some key nutrients we want to make sure that everybody is getting enough of. And I really want to come back to that. I love what you said about picky eating and trying different foods, but maybe making it in a different way can make them taste so different. So I always give the example of potatoes, right? So if potatoes that are mashed potatoes can taste different from French fries or baked potatoes or tater tots. So we want to make sure, or even in a soup. Or a casserole. So we want to make sure that we try a food in different ways, maybe roasting them, baking them, sauteing them, maybe trying them with different spices and herbs. All of that can make such a big difference to the taste as well. So I wanted to say that. I really love that point that you,
Thank you. And also, now I mentioned in the beginning, you are a lactation specialist as well. And talking about the different diets and the busy life, I mean, I don't know anybody who's more exhausted than new parents and caregivers. What advice do you give to them when they're nursing their child to make sure that they're meeting their own nutrition and they're getting what they need?
Absolutely. For new moms and new families, it's with babies, it's a lot. There's a lot going on, a lot of changes, sleepless nights, and just more being I think being taking care of the baby, being more involved. I always talk about self-care being really important. So you're filling your bucket before doing any other, you know, anything else, whether it's maybe a few minutes to walk alone or to walk with your partner or taking a shower, whatever that means, or maybe watching a favorite show. The self-care is important, but apart from that, making sure that they have enough fluids, maybe taking a multivitamin every day, just so that acts as a safety net for moms. You know, we obviously encouraging them to eat meals and snacks. For breastfeeding or moms providing breast milk, they do need an additional 600 more calories a day. So we talk about maybe making sure, like, even if you're not able to have, you know, like, sit down meals, maybe try to break down those into 5 to 6 mini meals. Maybe you could have them on the table while you're feeding your baby, or if when you're doing some skin to skin with your baby, trying to eat small snack meal. And then we also talk about how maybe, you know, it's hard to do everything by yourself. So making sure you have your partner, but also having a small village of your own, whether it's friends, extended family, who I feel like this is that stage, the postpartum period is the time when everybody wants to really help. So if they're offering help, to take it. And you know, if anybody says, hey, what can I do? How can I help? Hey, when you're stopping by, could you bring a meal that we could freeze? That's a great way to help a new mom, so that she could have food in her freezer whenever she's hungry. She could reach out for that. But sometimes even meal planning and meal prepping can be great. So once a week, you know, we're working on certain snacks and foods that are available for her through the day. So she's not necessarily like, you know, going to spend time cooking and cleaning while taking care of the baby.
I tell moms that have 8 ounces of water while you're nursing sitting next to you so that you're hydrating as well. So I'm definitely going to add now 8 ounces of water and a snack that as well.
I love that.
This is such great advice. I want to remind our viewers to follow us on Instagram and here on YouTube. The information is in the description box below. Can you share with others what exactly is or what you do as a lactation specialist? I think a lot of people misunderstand, just it's not that easy to be nursing. And so what exactly is that, if you could share with them?
Absolutely. So I work with moms and babies. I work both inpatient and in the outpatient clinic. Inpatient, I look after moms and babies in the NICU, babies who are maybe acutely sick or they're there for jaundice. We're working with them. Typically, they're maybe newborns or a few weeks old, not older.
Yeah.
And then in the outpatient clinic, we have babies from newborn till maybe 2 years of age that we see. So when they come in, there's different things that we work on, including latching, maybe breast pain, and certain conditions in like hormonal conditions in the mom that can affect the supply. We work on weaning as well, but also growth spurts and how that affects baby's feeding behavior. Maybe sometimes babies can cluster feed pretty frequently, especially when there's times when they're going through growth spurts. We also talk about introducing complementary foods, what kind of foods and when do we start offering those, and how does that fit in with nursing and maybe even nursing and bottle feeding. So parents have questions about what kind of foods can we offer and how many times a day, and at 6 months, how many meals does a baby have, or at, you know, at 12 months, how many meals should my baby eat? So we work on that. We also work on helping with supporting continued good weight gain. So looking at that growth trend, making sure that that is also that that growth trend is going along the curve while supporting the mom and the baby through their feeding journey.
And it's so important because you bring up a good point about how even an infant will go through these growth spurts and cluster feed. But think about even the toddler, you know, could go one day they eat really well and the next day they're eating all day. And so I try to tell parents that it is going to, you're going to have some days where they're eating well and some days that they aren't. And you just have to even that out. But working with you as an expert really helps them and guides them to make sure that they're meeting their milestones that they should be. So when it comes to, we talked about the lactating mother, what advice do you give to moms and dads and anyone that cares for children about really taking care of themselves? Because as you know, I want to take care of the whole family because I know that when we fill our bucket, as you said, then we know that that just trickles down into the child. So what advice do you give to help them set themselves up for success?
That's a great question. The first and foremost thing that I always talk about is how the parents at the and the parents and the baby are a team, and that successful breastfeeding and providing breast milk, whether it's breastfeeding or pumping and providing breast milk, that is only possible with that, you know, support of the team. So making sure that everybody is well-rested, and that's really hard though. And this is such a, you know, it's a time when there's so much activity, so much to be done. But taking turns and maybe taking smaller sleep times or naps, that can be great. But also, you know, when a mom is breastfeeding, oftentimes I hear partners of the breastfeeding mom telling me that they want to be part of that journey. They want to help their partner. And they're always so nice about wanting to do more. So we talk about how, hey, you can be this great partner and this person who is, you know, helping by even, you know, changing diapers of the baby between feeds or burping the baby, holding the baby while maybe mom gets to go to the restroom or gets a sip of water, you know, so just different things that can be helpful through the process, even maybe holding the mom's hand, a little back rub, just little things can go a long way. A word of encouragement or maybe nothing, although sometimes silence is great, but just little things can go a long way.
I wanted to ask one additional question because you shared such valuable information about the MyPlate and about parents taking care of themselves and realizing what a portion is and so much more. We hope that our children take these good nutritional practices into their adulthood when they're out on their own. Define what it is to be a healthy child.
No, being healthy as a child and an adult, but being healthy as a child, I would say it's important to make sure that they are meeting all their milestones as they grow. They're also, you know, it's active and the parents are sharing that they're, you know, they're generally there's a feeling of well-being. Growth charts are one way that we assess the growth, the physical growth of the child. And that's something we do, I think, at pediatric clinics. So that's like one aspect of being healthy, the physical growth, how much weight are they gaining and how tall are they growing, which is great. But also, I love that at pediatric well visits, there's also a question, you know, we have conversations about their mental well-being, emotional well-being, which is all part of that healthy child, right? Like being healthy. So I would say there's a lot of different aspects to that. And one good aspect is also the physical growth. And that's something that that's my background I'm trained in. I will say that We want to see every child trend along their growth curve and, you know, just really do great that way. But there's also times when sometimes that can look a little different for every child. As I mentioned before, I have a picky eater, and she had been really gaining good weight. She was at the 50th percentile, and a few years ago dropped down to the 10th percentile, which we were worried about. But we knew that overall she'd been doing well, eating well. I wasn't necessarily very worried because she was active. She was doing all the things that we were expecting her to do. So with conversations with the pediatrician, and then with you know, me being a pediatric dietitian, we just discussed about how this is unexpected, but just trying to see if, you know, we want to watch what happens in the future. So I think after 6 months, we came back and she was still along that 10th percentile. She didn't fall off, but then that became her new curve. So she is now trending along that 10th percentile. So I always like to say when I have conversations with parents that sometimes we, you know, it's good to look at the big picture. There may be sometimes when, you know, there's a dip or there's an increase, but overall, what is the trend? But sometimes, you know, when you're trending along, you can fall down to it, and then that would be your new trend. But as long as you are overall doing okay, the baby is doing good, I think that's key. And they're eating well, they're responding well. All of that really is important.
Divya, I could easily talk to you for hours, so we'll have to have you back again. Thank you for your time and sharing your talent and insights with us. And for you at home, if you like our conversation, please like and subscribe to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah so others like you raising families can find this episode. Until next time, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, and let's grow up together.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.